Welcome back to The Outfall, where we dive into the most unique backstories of our water world. As we kick off season five, it's hard to imagine. David, Amy, and I want to express our gratitude to you, our listeners. Thank you for your support, for reaching out to us. I know I always love that. And for sharing our passion and interest in our water world. We couldn't do this without you. In this episode, join us on a journey from Greenville, South Carolina to Cleveland, Georgia, and then to a small town in Australia and back again, as we explore an innovative solution developed to tackle the problem of trash in our streams. It's time to talk trash.
So my name is Sharon Appel, and I'm the watershed biologist at REWA.
Renewable Water Resources, or REWA for short, provides wastewater treatment services to Greenville County, South Carolina, and other areas of upstate South Carolina. We had heard stories about a trash-eating mechanism that REWA was piloting, and it really piqued our interest.
I guess the beginning of the story is that our Malden Road Water Resource Recovery Facility sits right along the banks of the Reedy River, just south of Greenville. So we kind of see everything that floats down the river, especially during rain events, all that trash coming down the river. We have a front row seat to everything that comes down the river, and we're actually just upstream of the Conestee Dam, which is kind of the stopper in the bathtub for everything that drains through Greenville. And the amount of trash that would pile up down there after rain events was just absolutely insane.
So describe what that looks like. What, when you say a lot of trash, I mean, I've got something in my head. How would you describe it?
It's funny. You don't see it. You see little bits and pieces coming down. So you'll see a cup. You'll see a basketball. Sometimes you'll see a trash can. But then when that all collects down at the Conestee Dam, you just have an entire, it looks like the entire lake is filled with trash, just floating debris, plastic and styrofoam. And everything you can imagine is just backed up behind the dam there. And it's just, it's really horrifying when you see the scale of the amount of trash that comes down the river. So our leadership at REWA was aware of this, and they stumbled across this device called a bandalong and said, you know what, maybe we can try this out and see if this is something that helps this problem. So the bandalong is a floating litter trap that's designed to just float on the water surface and pass debris and also let aquatic fish and everything else kind of float underneath it. So it catches that floatable litter that likes to come on down the river during rain events. It originated in Australia. We have the first one in South Carolina, I believe. Well, at least we did right around the time that we installed it. But there's quite a few around the country, and they're solidly made. They really take a beating, and they just do a great job of capturing all that trash.
So process of installing it's pretty easy, or?
Yeah, really just took a crane, and you have to pour anchor points to anchor, the attachment cables to it. And there's a little boom structure that sits in the front that kind of funnels all the trash into the actual collector.
Yeah.
But as soon as you have those booms attached to those anchor points, you're good to go.
You have to send a crew down there to change it out, clean it. What's the maintenance?
The maintenance is the hard part. So we were going into this knowing that no one had done this here before and just kind of giving this a shot. So we were kind of learning as we went. Yeah, you actually have to manually clean it out. So usually that involved a couple of us going down there with some trash pickers and some big trash cans with some holes cut in the bottom so that the water can flow through it, and just pulling that debris out from the basket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a little labor intensive, but that's really the way it's made to be.
Is this like a simple version? Do they have automatic ones too? Or
they do not have automatic ones. This is actually one of the biggest ones that they make. They make a lot smaller ones also, so okay. They can kind of scale it based on the size of the river creek that you're putting it on.
All right. So how many times do you go in and clean it? And I guess it's probably dependent on like big storm events, right? Like big flushing events.
Yeah. It's very dependent on rainfall. Usually if you have, and it depends on intensity of the rainfall also. Anything less than an inch, if it's more of a slow, steady rain, you're not going to get much in there. It's really those intense events over an inch where we start seeing some of the debris collecting in there. We knew that we were going to get a lot of trash just based on what we had seen. But I think we were all surprised just by really how much trash we got and how many individual little pieces of litter just add up so quickly. And really just the different things that we catch in there that we don't expect.
Like what?
We've had some weird things. There are also things that we get very consistently every time, but probably some of the weirdest things that we found so far. There's always some creepy baby dolls. Very creepy.
You got to be joking.
No, really serious. And they're always creepy. We found a tear gas canister one time.
Was it used or was it full?
We couldn't tell. This past year, we found a surprising number of Christmas ornaments, even before Christmas, which is a little strange. We pulled out an 8-foot utility marking pole one time. This was just upstream of the Bandalong, actually, but we pulled out an entire exit sign from I-85, which is probably 10 feet tall.
We'll chat more with Sharon about the results and what's next, but for now, let's focus on the Bandalong. And the elephant in the room. Where did that name even come from? I mean, it's definitely catchy, but it's also a bit, well, you know, random. Luckily, we've done some investigating and we've got the scoop, and it all starts with Mark, co-owner of the company that makes the Bandalong. He's based out of Cleveland, Georgia, just down the road from us, and he's the man with all the answers. Like, how long have they been making these things? What makes this so unique?
My name is Mark Curvis. I'm co-owner of Stormwater Systems. My business partner is Gary Hopkins. We are both 50% partners in Stormwater Systems. In 06, we started a company called Stormwater Systems, and we were making that storm drain product for our customer. And Gary had a phone call, and someone asked him to come down to Atlanta. And this guy had a creek in his backyard, and every time it would rain, all this litter would flush through his backyard and just look like a landfill, just leave trash everywhere in his backyard. And he wanted to know if we could come up with a solution for that. And we had talked about it for a little while, and I said, well, I'm sure we can do something. Does he have any money? And Gary said, no, he doesn't have any money. I said, so we're going to go out here and develop a product to a guy that can't even buy it? And he's like, well, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. But a few months went by and nothing really happened. And we kept thinking about it and we talked about it a few times, but it didn't really go anywhere. And Gary couldn't sleep one night and he got up. It was like 3 a.m. and he went and got on the internet and he just started searching. And he found this company in Australia that had been manufacturing a product called the Bandalong Litter Trap. And he saved a picture of it, printed a picture of it, of the litter trap, and brought it into work the next day. And he said, you think you could build this? And I said, oh, this would be easy to build, man. This is exactly what we do. Plastic welding. It's got plastic booms on it. It's got some aluminum, some stainless steel. This is all easy. So we got on the phone and we called the guy in Australia and we said, you know, how long have you been making this trap? And he said, about 15 years. And I said, well, are there any in America? And he said, no. He said, I had a company call me one time and they wanted to build it. But the problem is there's plastic involved. And if you don't know how to weld plastic, you know, you're going to have a difficult time. You won't be able to make this. And I said, well, do you weld plastic? And he said, no, I subcontract out all the aluminum and the plastic and we assemble it and then install them. But he said, we don't weld plastic. He goes, do you guys know anything about welding plastic? And I said, it just so happens that we have the highest plastic welding credentials in the United States. That we've been welding plastic since 79. And he said, well, then what are you doing in the U.S.? Get over here. Let's talk. So we ended up flying to Australia, and we had a 3-day business trip and turned that into a couple weeks of vacation with our wives. We came back with an exclusive licensing contract that allowed us to manufacture and sell this product in all of North America, South America, and Central America. And we pay a royalty fee, and it's protected, it's patented, it's licensed, it's registered worldwide. And he says, I won't give anyone permission to build it in North America, South America, or Central America. You guys pay me the royalty on every one you build and sell, and we're happy. And he's a very happy guy because we've hustled and we put a lot of money into growing stormwater systems and pushing his product. And the Bandalong litter trap doesn't use nets. It floats on top of the water. It uses the water's current to guide litter along the booms and into the trap. And it can be removed easily by hand or by a lift out basket. It's just a cool product. And so we started, hustling, and we sold our first one. Was actually, we installed one up here on the Chattahoochee for about 6 months and did a lot of prototyping and learning. And then we got our first order and it went into Washington, D.C. I want to say that was in 2008 or 2009. It actually took a couple of years to get this thing up and running. And
when I first heard the name Bandalong, I was like, wait, what? That's not a word I've heard before. And let's be real. Even if you say it a few times, it still doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. Bandalong. Bandalong. But you know what? Sometimes the best things in life have quirky names.
When we first got the name and got the product, I said, can we change the name? And he said, absolutely not. It has to be this name. And I said, but this name doesn't mean anything. I don't know what it means. What does that mean? And he said, the name is Aboriginal. And it means the joining of two rivers. It's the spot where two rivers meet each other. So if they come in at an angle and two rivers meet and become one, that's the Bandalong. And so the engineer, the guy who designed it, was an engineer that loved to go fish on the weekends. And he would always go to the Bandalong, and that's where he fished. And one weekend he went, and there was litter there, and he picked it all up, and it took him 15 or 20 minutes, and then he went and fished. And the next week, it took him a little longer. And the next week, it took him a little longer. And whoever was fishing in front of him or during the week just kept leaving trash. And one weekend he went there on a Saturday, and he did not even get to fish because he picked up litter all day. And so he went and sat down and designed this trap. so that he could fish. So he designed it and started building some, and it's improved. It's definitely, there's been a lot of learning curve because the water here in the U.S. travels a lot faster than the water in Australia. So we've got more current, it's stronger, it's more powerful, but theirs moves big bodies nice and slow, and they've found ways to guide the litter with separate boom systems.
Okay. We're getting to the meat of the matter now. We've heard the story behind the Bandalong and how it's made its way from Australia to Greenville. But let's be real. The real question is whether it actually works. I mean, sure, it's great to have a catchy name and a cool origin story. But at the end of the day, what really matters, right, is whether the Bandalong can make a real difference in cleaning our waterways. Well, let's circle back to Sharon and find out her thoughts.
Michael Corley, who's the director of Conesee Nature Preserve, actually said that they saw a noticeable difference in the amount of trash that was coming downstream and that it was far less than what it had been a year ago. So that was,
wow.
That was a cool moment. I mean, for all the trials and tribulations that we've gone through with this, that was a really cool thing to hear.
Is it still being piloted? What's going on now? And what do you think the future is going to be for this type of technology?
We are about to start phase two of our trial. So based on some of the maintenance challenges that we had at the Reedy River site, we're actually going to try it on Brushy Creek this year, which is located towards the back of our campus. It's a smaller tributary to the Reedy. Our thinking behind that is that we'll have a little bit less flow, and hopefully we won't get the size organic material, the large size organic material that we were getting before in the Reedy, and make that a little bit easier. But Brushy Creek is a very urbanized, built out watershed and creek, so it gets a lot of trash as well. So hopefully we'll start that in the next month or two.
I know I struggle a little bit with this type of solution because it seems like we're dealing with the problem at the very end instead of at the front end. Let's get Mark's thoughts about the future use of these type of mechanisms.
Ideally, I would love to say in 30 years, we don't need them because people don't litter. But in reality, I think in 30 years, there'll be just thousands of them, and it's just going to be this is how we keep litter from going into the ocean. And maybe corporate sponsors will help pay for all that. You know, we found that it's a lot easier to capture litter in the rivers and streams before it gets to the ocean. And that's our message. You know, we're just like, hey, we're out here doing this. You know, I always say be part of the solution.
I really appreciate what Mark said about being part of the solution. It reminds me of a quote from Donald Rumsfeld. You go to war with the army you have, not with the army you want or wish to have at a later time. The band along may not be the perfect solution, but it's a valuable tool for addressing the problem right now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Outfall. A huge thank you to Sharon for sharing her experience with the band along, and a shout out to Jennifer Simmons at Rewall for leading this charge. And of course, big thanks to Mark for joining us and sharing his knowledge about this amazing trash-eating mechanism. Don't forget to check out the show notes for some incredible pictures. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to sharing more stories with you in the future. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with your friends. We appreciate your support and feedback, so keep those comments coming. Thanks for listening to The Outfall, and we'll catch you next time.